Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and I am still basking in the glow of some of the really tasty Daddy Sodas I had out in Oregon. Well done, state of Oregon, specifically some of those breweries in Portland. Absolutely delicious, almost as delicious as the previews we've been doing each and every week that has two purposes. Number one, to get you ready to watch college football this year. And number two, help to educate and inform as to how to evaluate players, and in particular, what to look for from some of the top prospects across the country and across the board at different positions. I cannot tell a lie. He is the star of the show. His name is Fran Duffy. He is the video scouting guru for the Philadelphia Eagles. You should check him out on Twitter, at FDuffy3. I am merely Ross Tucker, a former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years, classic journeyman, very much enjoyed it. Now I love getting Fran's breakdowns and watching the tape on these guys when I get a chance. I was hoping, by the way, Fran, to check out a couple of these O-linemen on the flight back from Portland, but it was delayed and I had too many Daddy Sodas, so that actually did not happen. So I'll have to check out Orlando Brown a little bit later, but that's okay because I know you already did check him out. We already did a couple weeks ago the non-Power Fives. That includes like Notre Dame is probably the big school in that regard. Josh Allen from Wyoming. Last week it was the ACC. Today it's the Big 12. And before we get into any specific players, Fran, my feeling, correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't know if there's data to support this, it doesn't feel, in my mind, like the Big 12 has been producing the same level or same caliber of prospect and draft-wise for the last few years. I just, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they have. It just doesn't feel that way.
No, I mean, I would agree. There's still, you're going to have your share of players. I mean, you look up and down the roster of teams here, and sure, Texas has been down. You know, there have been some schools that have been, in theory, have been putting out big players. We used to see a lot of great talent from TCU. Not as much over the last couple of years. They had Josh Doctson last year on offense. They're traditionally a defensive powerhouse when they were coming up before they got added to the conference. But, you know, you look at all these players, and honestly, Ross, I truly believe, and this is, you know, this is no fault to really the teams. They're trying to do what they can to win games and compete in their conference and try and win a conference title. I think it's largely because of the style of play in that conference. It's a lot of wide open spread offenses, and it's a lot of air raid offenses. And when you play that style of football, you know, there are just some differences that don't necessarily translate well to the NFL game. We could probably do an entire podcast just on that. But, you know, the offensive linemen are playing from a two-point stance with extremely wide splits. The wide receivers are running limited route trees from one spot on the field as opposed to lining up in a number of different places with a more expanded route tree. Quarterbacks are more often than not reading half the field instead of a full field. Running backs are dealing with wider lanes. And then conversely on defense, you're reacting to what the offense is doing. So you're not seeing looks that are going to necessarily translate to the NFL. So there's a lot in terms of contributing factors in terms of why we haven't necessarily seen a lot of big-time prospects coming from that conference, but to me, that's one of the big things. But I don't blame them because, look, Oklahoma, you know, Mike Gundy doesn't care at Oklahoma State necessarily how many guys he's going to put to the NFL if he's going to win the conference title. And that's really the big thing that those coaches are trying to do. They're trying to keep their jobs and do what they can to win 9, 10, 11 games a year.
I would agree, Fran. Although I can tell you that, you know, for recruiting purposes, the amount of guys you send to the NFL and how high they get drafted, that does matter. So, priority one is obviously to win games, but the more guys you send to the NFL, the more recruits you get, which helps you win more games. So it's an interesting discussion. Almost as interesting as all of the awesome sponsors available at RossTucker.com. If you have a question for Fran, You can either ask him the question on tuckheads.com for those of you that are already members of tuckheads.com, or take advantage of any of the sponsors at rostucker.com, including the Amazon banner ad, the new Amazon banner ad at the new rostucker.com, and email me your question, ross@rostucker.com, and I will ask Fran right here on the podcast. Daddy Soda time.
Daddy Sodas.
Let's start with the quarterback position. Fran, what do you got for me in the Big 12? Obviously, I know a lot about Baker Mayfield. Curious to get your thoughts on him. Is there a better prospect, though, in the conference in your mind?
Yeah, I would say there's a better prospect in that state. You know, I look at Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State. He's a very talented player. He's been doing it for a couple years now. He's entering his third year as a starter for Mike Gundy in their version of that air raid offense. He's 6'5", 235, has the look of an NFL pocket passer. And in that scheme last year, there was a clear focus on the vertical passing game, trying to attack downfield. He's got pretty light feet for his size, has showed an improved ability to evade those free rushers in the pocket and stay alive with his eyes downfield. I've watched him now each of the past two seasons, and I've seen marked improvement in his game. Rarely did he look completely panicked back there under pressure. He's willing to stand in and deliver the ball before taking a shot. Through with some anticipation, especially on those isolation routes on the backside. He'll pull the trigger before the receiver enters his break. He didn't force as many throws. He knew when to eat it and play for the next play. He cut his interception total, Ross, by more than half in 2016 compared to 2015. He's got a crisp release. The ball comes out quick. He's a pretty easy thrower of the football. He throws a really nice deep ball. Good timing, good touch, good arm strength, needed to stretch the field. And he'll let his guys go up and make a play in those 50-50 situations. He shows good touch to all areas of the field. When he was clean mechanically, I thought he was pretty accurate. There were some issues, though, with his footwork. He's going to need to learn to work from under center and improve his timing and his drops. We laugh at that every draft season, but then every summer when we go to training camp and we see quarterbacks coming from shotgun-only offenses in their first camp, we all scoff when we see, oh, they can't even perfect the quarterback center exchange. Well, it's a process to learn how to do that, not just to actually take the ball, but then also drop back from under center. So he'll need to go through some of those growing pains. He wasn't really given any ability to change things at the line of scrimmage before the snap. Like I said earlier, it's a half field read offense. He was rarely asked to read the full field too often. I thought he was a little slow to get through all of his progressions and those multiple read passing concepts. And I think that's one of the biggest issues for me right now with Mason Rudolph. I'd like to see him eliminate quicker at every level of the field. There will be times where he will peak at the rush and that'll kind of take him off his progression. I mentioned some of those lower body mechanics. When he feels rushed, those mechanics will get a little bit worse. And that really affected his accuracy. He was one of those guys where you could pause the tape at, you know, 2 seconds in, and you could tell with looking at his feet whether or not that pass was going to be accurate or not. While it is a vertical offense, I don't think his arm talent is special. I think he's got a solid arm. I wouldn't say he's got a great arm. But Mason Rudolph, with a lot of the things that we've seen, and those quarterbacks coming from that scheme typically have not projected all that well to the NFL. I think he's got the ability to be a really nice backup with a chance to be a nice spot starter. I thought he improved in a lot of ways from 2015 to 2016. So if you see that same linear improvement this year, maybe we'll talk about him in a different vein in the spring. But overall, I think he's got the ability to be a nice spot starter and a number two quarterback as opposed to a surefire franchise. You know, you're picking him in the first 40 picks kind of player.
And as for Mayfield?
You know, Mayfield, we've been getting asked about Baker Mayfield now for a couple of years, and he's a really fun player to watch. You know, he's entering his third year as a starter for that offense under Lincoln Riley now, who was just promoted to head coach. It's the same scheme for the most part that he played in at Texas Tech with Cliff Kingsbury. Both guys coached under Mike Leach. It's very much the same offense. Spent a lot of time in the shotgun. Very short. He's got a very compact frame. Looks like he was given some pre-snap authority, unlike Mason Rudolph. He did have the ability to change some plays before the snap, but overall, when you watch this kid, he's a twitchy thrower. He's got a quick release. The ball comes out quick. He's able to make throws from different arm slots, and he's a pretty good athlete. He's got the ability to escape pressure. He's very slippery with the ball in his hands, and he can threaten the perimeter. One of the things I like about his ability to throw is that he does have pretty good touch, and he can make those bucket throws down in the red zone. He can make those bucket throws in the intermediate area of the field, outside the numbers. He's got the ability to do that, but when I watch Mason Rudolph, I see very little ability to play within the structure of the offense, especially in the pocket. He would often bail under pressure, ran into a ton of sacks. And watching him the last 2 years, that's been the most infuriating part of watching Mason Rudolph is some of his decisions, not necessarily forcing balls into traffic, but just knowing, you know what, just throw this ball out of bounds. Just throw this ball into the dirt. Play for the next down. Don't take an 8-yard sack on 2nd and 10 from the 30-yard line and take your team out of field goal range. There were a lot of occasions where, you know, he just did not give her the ball when he should have. His ability to play from the pocket will be something that I want to watch. He's got slow eyes. I didn't think he's got the ability to eliminate as quickly as I would have liked at this stage of his career. He'll lock on to his primary target. He had issues seeing underneath defenders each of the past 2 years. A lot more interceptions against zone coverage 2 years ago, but still I thought he had some of those same issues this past year. More of a see it thrower than an anticipation guy. He's got to see a guy break open before he's going to pull the trigger. And when he does get rid of the ball quickly, it's often off the mark. Overall, I think his accuracy, especially his ball placement, not just can he get it on his man, but can he hit his man in stride so that the receiver can pick up yards after catch? I thought that was below average. And his arm strength is just adequate. He's not a power thrower. He's got to put everything into his drive throws down the field, and the ball will die on him past 25 yards. So the further downfield he got, the more his accuracy and his ball placement waned. He's just not a deep ball thrower right now. So overall, you're talking about an undersized passer. His physical tools are below average, very little feel for going through progressions and winning from the pocket right now, but still a player that you got to respect his game, man. I mean, two times the kid has walked on and turned into a starting quarterback. He did it at Texas Tech as a walk-on out of high school, then transferred to Oklahoma as a walk-on and earned the starting job. Doesn't have a lot of great physical gifts, but you like his competitive toughness. I'm really excited to watch him this year. He was a Heisman finalist last year. I'm excited to watch him again, even though they lose D.D. Westbrook. They lose those weapons in the run game. Can he repeat that? I'll be very interested to watch Baker Mayfield this year.
Any other Big 12 quarterbacks to keep an eye on?
Yeah, I think really there's two transfers. One we got to see last year in Kenny Hill out at TCU. He was from Texas A&M, where he took over for Johnny Manziel. We thought he was going to be a Heisman winner, and he was benched by the end of that year. Kenny Hill's down in Texas or down at TCU, so we'll get to see him again. And then there's some buzz building around Will Grier, and you may think, oh, where's Will Grier from? A couple years ago, he was the true freshman quarterback at Florida that kind of got them on the come, and he was benched or he was suspended because of, I think it was it might have been like a substance abuse. He got suspended for whatever it was down in Florida, ended up West Virginia, sat out last year due to a transfer rule. Well, now he's going to be the starter in that offense for Dana Holgorsen. So excited to watch Will Grier in a new offense here at West Virginia.
Let's move on, Fran, and get to the running backs. You got Justin Crawford from West Virginia. I really don't know much about him.
Yeah, I didn't know much about him either. He was the Big 12 Offensive Rookie of the Year last year. He only started a couple of games, but he was their leading rusher. I think he ran just shy of 1,200 yards last year, so was really productive in his first year. He was a junior college transfer. They play in that air raid style as well, so a lot of shotgun runs, primarily zone run game. He's taller with a lean frame. I want to say he's like 6 foot, 205 pounds. Pretty good athlete. You know, he's got surprising burst, good stop-start ability, and the fluidity and change of direction needed to be an NFL ball carrier. He's got breakaway speed, and he was a home run threat in the Big 12. I think he's got a pretty good feel for their zone run game schemes, doesn't waste a lot of movement on his way downhill, and he can be very decisive getting north-south. He's got the patience to let those blocks develop in their gap schemes as well. So I thought he's got pretty good vision, and he's got more juice laterally than I expected for a back with his body type. He'll jump cut to create space for himself. He's got some shake to make people miss in the hole and out in space, and when he makes a cut, he's able to stay at top speed. I said that, I put that on Twitter a couple of weeks ago about Saquon Barkley, that being one of his most impressive traits. I think that Crawford's got a little bit of that as well. When he makes a cut, he's able to get to top speed again really, really quickly. Seems really comfortable on the perimeter, but he's not afraid to hit it up inside, and he can deal with contact. He can take on a tackle attempt and stay at top speed and run through it. He plays bigger than his listed weight would suggest. Competitive guy. He'll use a stiff arm. He'll use his off arm to stay alive. He'll spin off defenders. He's fighting for every inch he can. So he was a really fun player to watch. He wasn't a great third down player. He was in the passing game as a receiver. He was more on bubble screens and flat routes. So I want to see him kind of expand that this year. And in pass protection, he just needs a little bit leaves a little bit to be desired there. He needs to work on his technique and overall his willingness to pass protect. But overall, I thought Justin Crawford was a really interesting guy. can he get a little bit stronger and a little bit more powerful to run through some of those hits on his lower half? I thought that a lot of his broken tackles came when a defender would come in high and hit him in the chest or the shoulder. He was able to shrug those off. But when a guy goes low on him, I want to see him just get a little bit stronger there and run through some of that. But overall, I think this guy's got the ability to be a starting back. And without knowing anything about him personally and if he's willing to pick up the scheme, he shows a lot of positive traits. So I thought Justin Crawford, honestly, of all the players, I knew very little about him going in. He really, really impressed me, possibly more than I expected of any of these players in the Big 12.
Any other running backs in the Big 12?
Well, the other guy that's first-team all-conference for the preseason with him is Justice Hill from Oklahoma State, and they've got a lot of talent on that roster. So Justice Hill would be the other name I'd keep an eye on at running back.
All right. Well, there's usually a whole boatload of wide receivers, it seems like, in the Big 12. Is that the case again this year? And if so, who's the lead dog?
There are definitely some names. You mentioned earlier, we talked about the group of five players, the outside of the Power Five players. And for some reason, and I don't know why, Ross, I can't explain these things. Maybe it's because we do this podcast early in the morning. I put Allen Lazard from Iowa State on that rundown. So we talked about Allen Lazard from Iowa State a couple weeks ago, 6'5", 220 pounds. He can make plays after the catch. He's a punt returner at that size. Allen Lazard's a nice player, but the guy that I think is the number one receiver in this conference, at least from the guys I've watched so far, is James Washington from Oklahoma State. He's got pretty good size, but when you watch him, I mean, he lines up primarily to the far right of the formation. He kind of looks like a back, like just how he's built. He's got a very stout frame. He looks like a back out there on the perimeter. I think there's a smoothness to the way that he runs. He's a long strider with enough speed to make plays downfield, but also the fluidity to get in and out of breaks. And I didn't expect that necessarily, seeing him just, you know, kind of off the cuff. He's clean with his releases against off coverage. He'll fly right out of his stance. He didn't run a full route tree, but the routes that he did have in his toolbox, I thought he ran them pretty well. He'll stair step at the top of routes, and stair step, if you can kind of picture this in your mind, imagine you're running the stairs, doing a football workout, and you see your legs kind of pumping and your pad levels kind of drop. He's got the ability to stair step at the top of a route and hide his intentions from the receiver. Even though they didn't run a full route tree, I thought the ones that he ran, he showed a little bit of savvy there, and he showed the ability to create some separation. So if he can pick up the rest of the route tree moving forward, I have a little bit of confidence that he can turn into a nice route runner at the next level. He'll attack a corner's technique and gain separation at the top of his stem. He does a pretty good job tracking the deep ball, and I thought that was one of his best traits. He'll contort his body to give himself a chance in the air, attacks the football in the air, very competitive player at the catch point, and he's got strong, confident hands to pluck the ball away from his frame in any situation. Very physical after the catch. He'll look to run through initial contact again. That's where he'll kind of look like a running back with the ball in his hands, and he can move people as a blocker. It wasn't consistent. He had some mental errors and some lows, but when he was locked in as a blocker, he could move people and get defensive backs in the perimeter out of the frame. I was really impressed at times with his ability as a blocker. Now, he's still a little bit raw, and you know, he's not great against press coverage whatsoever. He needs to learn to have a couple of tools in that toolbox as well to be able to win at the line of scrimmage. I mentioned his the shortcomings as a route runner. He will need to get a little bit better there. For a kid with his size and strength, I was a little bit disappointed with how easily he was disrupted mid-route at times. I thought he could get pushed off his spot downfield. And he wasn't always on the same page as Mason Rudolph in the passing game. So there were a couple situations where I want to see, you know, can he turn into, you know, can he reach that ceiling? But I think he can be a nice player. Like, and I'm not saying Pierre Garçon is one of the most technically refined players in this league. From a physical standpoint, he reminds me a little bit of a Pierre Garçon, and I think he can be that guy with a lot of refinement as a route runner. And Pierre Garçon had the benefit of working with a Peyton Manning and the coaching staff out in Indianapolis early in his career. We'll see if Washington can have that same kind of transition, but physically, stylistically, I think he can turn into that guy because of his body type and some of those physical traits.
Any other wide receivers in the Big 12?
Yeah, I think you look at Texas Tech, and they'll throw it all over the yard. They lost a couple pieces on offense there this offseason. But Derek Willis is one receiver who was a JUCO All-American in 2015. He was a transfer from Iowa. He's a guy to keep an eye on. And then one of their first-team preseason all-conference players was Kiki Kute, who was a receiver on the perimeter as well. So I would keep an eye on those Texas Tech weapons as well, even with a new quarterback.
Tight end Mark Andrews from Oklahoma. He was in the U.S. Army Bowl. He's a stud. I mean, is he the number one tight end in the country, or at least one of them?
He's up there, man. I think he's kind of getting undersold right now. I watched him last week for the first time, and I was really impressed. You know, 6'5", 254. he most of his reps came out in the slot, which is, you know, that kind of turns me off a little bit, but he did get some reps in line. And I'll start off with his blocking, because he's not a great blocker. He's not a good blocker. He's probably not even a solid blocker right now, but I think he shows some willingness there. And with his size, again, at 6'5", 254, that's not bad size for the position coming out of college. I think he's got the ability to pack on a little bit more weight. And since he does show some willingness there, I'm willing to project him a little bit better as a blocker. But when you watch this kid, I mean, he's a pretty good athlete, more than enough quickness and fluidity, suddenness to be a factor in the passing game in today's league. He can get to top gear pretty quickly, and he's got the speed both to get down the seam, and, you know, he's got some verticality to him, but also he'll line up in the slot and run away from people on those deep over routes. I mean, he's got some movement skills. He'll run some option routes in the middle of the field. He does a nice job of finding soft spots and zone coverage, and he's always working back to the quarterback, and he was a really solid target for Baker Mayfield in the middle of the field. Sudden and savvy as a route runner. I was really impressed with his ability to create separation. He'll change his stride length at the top of the route. He'll use head bobs and shoulder fakes to create some separation, and he just whips his head around at the top of breaks. He's got a really good feel for breaking away from defenders at the top of his stem. So I really was impressed with his ability as a route runner. His athleticism will also show up at the catch point, where he just looks under control and smooth. He'll go up and win at the catch point in contested situations, down in the red zone and downfield. And he looks pretty smooth after the catch as well. You know, again, you're not expecting that from a bigger tight end, but you know, I think with some of the skills that he showed as a pass catcher, he did have a couple drops, and they were more like focus drops where he's trying to get upfield before securing the football. I'd like to see him cut some of those out. He did struggle a little bit with some passes outside of the strike zone where he had to go low to the ground or climb the ladder and go up. So I don't know if he's necessarily like a quarterback's best friend in that regard. But I do think with some of the savvy he showed as a route runner and the willingness as a blocker, I think he's a good enough bet to project as a three-down player at the NFL level. He'll need to work in pass protection because he has got very little experience there. But overall, I was really impressed by that kid. I think he's got the ability to be an NFL starter.
Any other tight ends?
I would say if I had to pick, well, first of all, one guy to keep an eye on is Jalen Hurd, the former Tennessee running back who transferred to Baylor, and now they're saying he's going to be like an H-back player for them, 6'3", 245 pounds. I'm very intrigued to see that. I don't know if he can play this year or if he's got the exemption if he graduated, but he'll be a guy to watch in the future. And then Ben Johnson from Kansas is a senior, 6'5", 235. He's another name to watch as well in this conference.
Let's go O-line. I'm definitely going to check out Connor Williams and Orlando Brown at some point. I did not as of yet. Curious to get your thoughts on what you saw from those guys.
Yeah, they're two very different players to me. Orlando Brown, he's going into his third year as a starter, and his father was Orlando Brown, you know, Zeus Brown from the Cleveland Browns and Baltimore Ravens. Huge. This kid is 6'8". He's 345. He's got outstanding size, and he plays to that size. He actually lost a little bit of weight. He's down to 345. He was at 360 last year. But at his size, I thought he was a functional athlete, Ross. Like, he wasn't like this big lumberer that you wondered if he's going to be able to match up on the edge. Like, you know, I remember thinking that about like DJ Fluker when he came out of Alabama and wondering the same thing. I think Brown is really confident in his pass set. He gets pretty good depth, and he's got functional feet. I think he's got the ability to stick out at tackle in some ways. And I was talking with a friend of mine about this who also studied Brown. Kind of reminds me in some ways of like a Bryant McKinney. You know, his hands are so powerful. When he punches a defender, he's got the ability to knock them back with just one punch in pass pro, and he's really disciplined with his hands in that regard. Really strong, powerful guy, can move people at the point of attack in the run game. His feet are always moving on contact. I was really, really impressed with this kid. He understands leverage and angles in the run game, so I think he's got the ability to play, whether it's in a gap scheme or in a zone scheme. I mean, they were pulling him in their counter run scheme, Ross, and again, at 360, you see this kid pull from left to right and as a lead blocker for Samaje Perine or Joe Mixon down through the hole, and you're like, where the hell did they find this guy? He's really, really impressive, and he doesn't look. He doesn't have great bend, and there's going to be a little bit of concern there. He'll struggle at times with change of direction when he's got to react to an inside counter move. That was actually the one sack he gave up last year back in week one against Houston, was on an inside rip move where he kind of overset a little bit and struggled power stepping and getting back inside. But overall, I think Orlando Brown has a ton of potential as a starting tackle. I'm really, really impressed by that kid. And then you go to Connor Williams, who last year he was listed at 6'6", 320. I didn't think he played like a guy who's 6'6", 320. I thought there were a lot of times where he struggled a little bit at the point of attack, and he got tossed around a little bit. Now, he's down to 310 this year, but from what I read, I think it was Bruce Feldman put this out, that most of that 320 was bad weight, and he lost 19 pounds of body fat going into 2017 and added 12 pounds of muscle. So we'll see if he kind of transformed his body and he plays a little bit stronger this year compared to last year. But overall, this guy's got really good feet. He's got natural lateral quickness, the ability to mirror on the perimeter. He keeps his hands holstered in pass protection, which I don't necessarily like. He'll expose his chest. But overall, I thought that he timed his punch well and he kept his hands tight. So he made up for it. He's got really quick, violent hands. I just want to see him get stronger, man. I mean, that's really the big thing that I worried about against Connor Williams. I also kind of wonder, too, and this will go into if he does get stronger, he kind of has more of a guard body type to me than a tackle. So I'm excited to see his official measurables as well. He'll be a little bit late off the ball at times. So there are a couple things that I worry about. But with both kids, they both play with an edge. I mean, both guys will drop the groceries on you at the end of a play. They play through the echo of the whistle. I really like the play personalities of both Orlando Brown and Connor Williams.
Let's get to the D-line. Are there any studs in the Big 12 on the D-line?
Yeah, Dorrance Armstrong from Kansas. You know, he was a 1.5-year starter. He lined up at a couple different spots in a 3-point and a 2-point stance. Really long athletic frame. He's got the ability to pack more weight on. Smooth athlete. He's got some suddenness to him and the burst to close on the football. His go-to move is a bull rush that he didn't really have a ton of success with, but he flashed the ability to win with a really nice spin move. He tries to use his hands to win. So you can tell he's kind of developing that pass rush plan. He's only a junior this year, so going off his sophomore tape, it was good to see him kind of working through things as a pass rusher. He would drop his at times, but to me, I see that ability to run the hoop. He does have some bend turning the corner. I like his versatility. That being said, I do want to see him get a little bit stronger. He can be a little bit late off the ball at times. He can be a little bit nosy and wasn't asked to do a ton of reading, and his over-aggressiveness would get the best of him at times. But overall, I think this guy's got some ability. I think he's got the athletic tools. He's just not polished as a pass rusher. And if he can take the next step, I think he's got the ability to be a pretty high pick. I'm just not sold there yet. What you have right now in Dorrance Armstrong isn't like a finished product, and I think he's just got some more development to do, but he's a really intriguing player.
Any other D linemen worth mentioning?
Yeah, you look at Will Geary from Kansas State. He's a former walk-on. Desmond Tucker from Iowa State was a productive player at just under 300 pounds last year on the D-line. KJ Smith from Baylor is a big name that I haven't gotten a chance to get to yet. He was a first-team all-conference player last year. And Brecken Hager from Texas also is another guy I'd like to get to pretty soon.
Hager, man, there's been a lot of Hagers coming through Texas over the years. It's unbelievable. And their first names all are like BR something. That's crazy. speaking of Texas linebackers, I've definitely seen the name Malik Jefferson before. Tell me about him.
Yeah, you know, Jefferson, it was a big name coming out of high school. He was a 5-star recruit. I think he was the number one linebacker in the country by most services. 2-year starter. He's going into his third year now. And he was a Mike in their 3-3 stack, but a really athletic kid. He's rangy. He's got good burst. You know, from a physical standpoint, some people compare him to like a Jalen Smith coming out of Notre Dame, who I thought was one of the best linebackers I'd ever watched. I just can't put Jefferson on that pedestal right now because I don't see the instincts reading the run. I don't see a guy that's as physical coming downhill. I think one of Jefferson's best traits is his ability to get after the quarterback. He's a really natural blitzer. And I think in this new defense that he's going into under Todd Orlando, I think he's going to be used that way. You're going to see him get after the quarterback quite a bit in that scheme. The thing is that if you're listing a linebacker's ability to blitz as one of the top traits on his resume, that doesn't really necessarily speak all that well to his game. I think he's got all the physical tools, but his instincts, his gap integrity at the run game, he's not a great tackle right now. I just want to see – he's another guy who's really just kind of developmental at this point. I just want to see more of from the little things of the game.
Any other linebackers?
Yeah, Anthony Wheeler is Jefferson's teammate. He's 6'3", 240, so he's got some size to him. He's got some range to him as well. He had some big hits on tape that I watched, but he's a throwback thumper. I mean, he projects best inside where he can disrupt the run game. The question that needs to be answered is what level of athleticism is he? Is he a good athlete, an okay athlete, a below average? If he tests well, I think some people will view him as an upside guy that could be a backup year one and turn into a starter year two. if he doesn't test well, I think some people are going to get turned off, because there are times on tape where you wonder, you know, there are sometimes where he shows flashes of, you know, you're seeing that closing burst and you see that change of direction. There are other times when he looks a little stiff. So that'll be a big thing for me, and I'm excited to watch him this year as a senior as well. And then lastly, Ogbonnia Okoronkwo from Oklahoma is a guy that a lot of people are excited about, a pass rusher in their 3-4 scheme, undersized. I think much like a Hassan Reddick last year, he's going to have to move inside. The thing is that I don't see a guy who's got great ability to read his keys quickly. He's not a high motor guy. He's not a great athlete. A pretty good tackler, good blitzer. He's at his best when he's lined up out wide in a three-point stance flying off the ball, but he's not a polished pass rusher. So he's kind of a man without a position right now. I just think he's more of an inside off-the-ball player.
Let's get to the DBs. What do you got for me?
I would say, to me, Jordan Thomas from Oklahoma is probably the best defensive back in the conference from what I've seen. To me, I don't know that he's athletic enough to make up for some of his issues with his eye discipline. A lot of the issues I saw with a lot of the big plays he gave up last year, and he did give up his share of big plays, were that his eyes got stuck in the backfield too long and too late in the down, and receivers were able to get separation. So I don't know that his eyes are good enough to make up for his athleticism. I don't know that his athleticism is good enough to make up for his eye discipline. If he can improve a little bit mentally, I can buy into him as a starter, but I think he gives up way too many big plays right now, especially in that conference, to be counted on in that role right now as a starter. I want to see him get a little bit better as a run defender as well. He doesn't have great hands. He left some interceptions on the field a year ago. He's got some ability. I just think he's more of like a number three, number four corner coming off the bench and nickel to play on the outside.
Any other DBs we should discuss?
I'd say DJ Reed from Kansas State. He was first team all conference last year. He was the defensive rookie of the year at the conference at corner. So he's a guy to keep an eye on this year. Trey Flowers from Oklahoma State. He's got great size, 6'3", 198 at safety. So he's a big guy to keep an eye on. Nick Orr from TCU, a little bit undersized at 5'10", 197, but was second team all conference last year. And then one guy who's been on my radar for a while, Kamari Cotton-Moya from Iowa State. He's got some range to him at 6 foot 194. I've seen really good flashes, but excited to dig further into his tape.
I love it. I'm excited to dig into the Big Ten tape next week. I know a bunch of these guys. That's the conference that I follow the closest, in addition to the Ivy League. So Big Ten will be awesome next week. You can always catch Fran on his Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast talking about the game of football from the All 22. Of course, Fran's on Twitter at FDuffy3. I am as well at Ross Tucker NFL. The podcast is at RTF Podcast. And I just signed up for Instagram because that's where all the new cool kids are. And I will be taking some pictures and videos from Eagles camp and looking forward to it today. So make sure whenever you listen to this podcast that you check me out on Instagram if you're an Instagram dude. Other than that, it is Big Ten next week, and I cannot wait. The keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft. Chugga, 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 chugga. Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
Have you heard Spike's Car Radio? It's comedian, actor, writer Spike Ferriston sitting on the porch in Malibu talking with some cool people about cool cars and life in general.
My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. He was all right. Don't try to hug him.
Chris Hardwick.
I could feel everything on the road. I mean, it was right. Basically like, it was like unprotected sex for driving.
Jeremy Piven.
I think you and Jerry are spiritually tied to cars, and I respect it and I love it, but I don't quite get it yet, but I want to get it.
Download new episodes of Spike's Car Radio every Wednesday on the Podcast One app, or save time and subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.